This week on Bad Takes in Boston, college football brackets and bowl game predictions. The College Football Super Episode.
Well, Jack, we're doing this week's episode a little differently. We're
The first ever remote. Yes.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not together. We're doing this on Zoom, but we knew that it was important to get this episode out because it's a big one. It's time for us to talk about college football. We're going to make a bracket. We're going to talk about the bowl games, and we're going to dive right into it, Jack. Let's get going. And let's just go game by game. I feel like if we start it right off with this Clemson Texas game and kind of just work our way down the bracket and you know, bounce it off each other and, you know, see what we like.
Yeah, we're remote today, everybody. So we actually didn't buy the fancy Zoom. So this is have to be capped at 40 minutes. But don't worry, we're going to fill a lot of content in. So I'm going to start there. What'd you say, Clemson and Texas?
Yep.
Well, let's start off easy, I guess. Texas. Sorry, Cade Klubnik. They have no offense. And as friend of the show, Zach Morano said, Clemson may score 0 points. And I tend to agree. Frankly, everyone likes to talk about Georgia's path to the playoffs. I think Texas might have probably the second easiest. But yeah, right now, give me Texas over the Tigers. Dabo Swinney's a loser.
I'm going to take Texas as well. As much as I, you know, hate Texas, horns down for life, I don't see them losing to Clemson. But I don't think this Texas team is very good. I think that they're going to meet their maker when they face Arizona State. But I'm going to agree with you. Give me Texas over Clemson. Now going down to the other side, we got Tennessee versus Ohio State. I know we have differing opinions on this, but give me Ohio State. I'm not a believer in Tennessee. I'm not a believer in their quarterback. And I think this is just a young, inexperienced team. And as much crap as everyone likes to give Ryan Day, and don't get me wrong, he deserves it for pretty much the way he's been the past couple years. And he came out the other day and said Michigan's just another game to them, which I thought was absurd to admit.
Terrible, terrible thing to say.
But at the end of the day, he's been there before. Ohio State's been there before. Tennessee, I mean, this is the first time they've really done something. They got into the playoff, whoop-de-doo, but they're going to get embarrassed against the Buckeyes. Give me Ohio State. They're going to roll.
Yeah, I mean, my thinking on this has drastically changed. I'm not saying it's not embarrassed. I don't think Ohio State is a team that the 2024 Ohio State team cannot embarrass people. They frankly only get embarrassed, and they win games. And sometimes they win games by just enough, and I think it's going to be a situation here. Whatever the spread is, I think it's – do you know what the spread in this game is going to be? Have they released that information?
Yeah, it's 7.5, Ohio State -7.5.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm going to take Tennessee -7.5 because their defense is going to keep it close. But, yeah, everything you said is absolutely correct. I'm not exactly loving the quarterback matchup here. Will Howard against Iamaleva is kind of like, you know, just two off-brand sodas competing against each other at, like, a really sad birthday party. But honest to God, like, give me Ohio State and give me Tennessee with the points. I Tennessee keeps it close with every team they play, but their defense are obviously the best part of that team, and they don't exactly blow anyone out, especially with their schedule that was kind of lacking this year. So yeah, give me the Buckeyes, although that does pain me to say because they're also a cringe team similar to that of Texas.
SMU Penn State up next. Penn State 8.5-point favorites. Mm-hmm. Give me SMU, pony up, and this is my big reason. I kid you not, I understand you're going to come out with, oh, Drew Aller is better than Jennings, and, you know, they're a bigger Power 5 program. They play all these big schools. They almost beat Oregon, whatever. James Franklin has yet to ever win a big game. SMU, by the skin of their teeth, got into the playoff all because in the second half they decided to wake up and play SMU football, and we're 9 seconds away from going into overtime, and SMU could have drastically changed the college football bracket. We could have been talking about Alabama. Instead, we're talking about Cade Klubnik. But because of that, because of them barely getting in and that whole situation, I just feel like the ponies are going to show up ready to play. And I don't think they're going to have a little first half hiatus. They're going to come out ready to punch him in the mouth. And also, too, I'm the biggest Drew Aller hater in the world. The guy sucks. And he makes some cool plays here and there, whoop-de-doo. But this guy is a glorified Christian Hackenberg. No one from Penn State is going to be good in the NFL. And it's just not going to translate. I'm sorry. I'm glad he's staying another year so I can fade his ass for another year. Give me the ponies. Let's go, SMU.
It's a real interesting debate here because the question is obviously, as all ball knowers know, Penn State does not win big games. It's impossible. And at this point, I believe that's like a formula that can't be broken. And the question is, does that formula equate evenly to the first round of the brand new college football playoff against SMU? And in my eyes, I think based on the news of this week of Drew Aller staying, this is the most positive I'll ever get of this terrible, awful school. I think they win. I think they beat SMU. And I think truly it has to revolve around the fact that one, out of all these teams, I would argue that probably SMU is the weakest. Also, Drew Aller coming back, I believe, is a big rallying point for the Penn State football program that actually, was very competitive against an Oregon team that I think is going to go pretty far in this. So, yeah, it's not easy. And I think I've gone, oh, geez, have I gone all favorites so far? Well, that'll change soon. Give me the Nittany Lions as much as that makes my heart want to jump out of my chest.
Next up, Indiana, Notre Dame. Give me the Hoosiers. Indiana all day. Notre Dame opened up as an 8-point favorite or 8.5-point favorite. It's down to 7. There's a reason why. Notre Dame is frauds. The fraudulent Marcus Freeman, fraud. You don't lose to Northern Illinois at home and then expect to have this home field advantage when Indiana comes into play. They're both in Indiana. The same. They're both the schools are Indiana. Give me the dog. Give me the dog. A dog is gonna win out of Tennessee. Let's get real. Let's get real, Jack. Out of Tennessee, Ohio State, SMU, Penn State, and Indiana, Notre Dame, one of those three dogs are gonna win. And I think Indiana probably is gonna be the is probably the best team out of all the dogs, in my opinion. In my opinion.
Easily.
And I think people don't understand that Indiana's going to show up ready to play. Their coach, I don't know how to say his name, or I honestly don't.
Ignetti.
Okay, well, there you go. But I honestly think this guy is going to have these guys fired up and ready to go. And I expect Indiana's going to punch Notre Dame in the mouth a little bit. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game. But I don't know. Something's telling me that Indiana's going to show up ready to play.
Yeah, I want Indiana to go really far in this. I honestly wish somehow there was a scenario where Indiana was playing a home game in the first round, because if it was a home game, I'd have no question to say take them, honestly, take them with the points. Notre Dame is a hard one. It's kind of difficult to evaluate how good a team they are, because obviously they will do things like lose to Northern Illinois and then win out the rest of the year with Riley Leonard also not being a good quarterback, but being very good in the system that Notre Dame puts him in, where they just kind of use him as kind of like how quarterbacks were used in the 1930s, basically, just like ground and pound, having him like essentially use his body as like a battering ram, barely ever throwing the ball. It'll be interesting to see what he does in the NFL, but that's a story for another time. Frankly, I do kind of think that, yes, let's go with Indiana in this first round. I think they're a little annoyed. I think they feel a little disrespected. I think they are upset that they went from being like America's really one of their favorite teams, losing to Ohio State, and then immediately the narrative going to, well, all right, they're not good. They lost to Ohio State as Indiana, and that means they won't be good this year. Yeah, they did everything they needed to do outside of beating Ohio State. They honestly are one of the best home teams in the nation. But yeah, the fact that it's going to be in Indiana. I hope Signetti gets the Hoosier faithful out into South Bend, because truly, like, it's going to be a battle of the homegrown team against the out-of-staters in that one. Give me the Hoosiers. Give me the Hoosiers. Let's go.
Now let's go to the back up to the top. Arizona State, we got Arizona State playing Texas, and I think Arizona State's going to beat them, Jack. I 100% believe that. I think Scatterbro Burrow is going to probably be the second running back taken off the boards come NFL draft. And I also think that this Arizona State defense is not very good, but their ability to run the ball and the play action pass that comes off of that, I think is going to be what keeps them in this game. I also think Sean Levitt, who their court Sam Levitt, sorry, their quarterback, he's a young guy. I mean, shoot, he's a I believe he's a freshman. Yeah, he's gonna be or a redshirt freshman. But 24 touchdowns to 5 picks, his QBR 81.7 is 10th best in the nation. I think this Arizona State team has been a underdog all year. No one expected them to be here. And I think that rest advantage is going to be huge for them. I think getting your body healthy, especially their running back in Scott Burrow, I think getting that guy healthy, taking some, not having to take these, hits week in, week out because they give him the ball 30 times a game. I just think this is going to be a really good opportunity for Arizona State to put themselves on the map. And as always, Texas is going to find a way to choke it. Let's go, Sun Devils.
Yeah, no, I gotta disagree with that one. I don't think Arizona State is actually that good. I mean, they're good. They're one of the best teams in the country, but in terms of competing with Texas in the situation, once they put the beat down on Clemson, I think people are gonna start to realize that any sort of like belief that Arizona State is gonna win this game is a bit wish casting. Arizona, I mean, they're hot now, and that's obviously huge for them, and that's why they're the team with the bye, considering the wins against BYU, Kansas State, Iowa State. These are all blowouts that will like actually kind of like, they weren't expected to lose, but people didn't expect them to kind of like, destroy them the way they did. Iowa State really being the blowout, BYU and Kansas State less so. But honestly, like I think that obviously Cam Scadabo is really good. And their passing game has been pretty good at times this year. It has been inconsistent. Levitt or Leavitt, I guess Levitt is how to pronounce his last name. He's been good at many times, but there's also been times when they've just been put the ball in like other people, and they expect him to just kind of like be a system player. I think against the Texas defense, and really, it's not the Texas offense that I care about. It's not going to win them games. It's the Texas defense, and that's how you have to handle any team that plays them. I think the Texas defense is going to whoop on them, and it's not going to be close. Give me Texas with the points in that game.
Oregon versus Ohio State in the rematch in the Rose Bowl. I also think it's really cool that this is the Rose Bowl, but it's Oregon. It's Oregon. And as much as I don't think Dylan Gabriel is really good, I think he's just in a good system like Bo Nix was last year. But at the same time, I really can't talk because I was the biggest Bo Nix hater. I said he was gonna suck, and you know what? He's proved me wrong entirely. I mean, the dude's a couple games away from making the playoffs, and yeah, I was wrong about Bo Nix. So maybe I'm wrong about the way this Oregon team is run. Maybe I'm wrong about the Oregon quarterbacks. Maybe I'm wrong about Dan Lanning. So you know what? I'm gonna look myself in the mirror, take some accountability, and say, you know what? Oregon's gonna win this football game. Give me the Ducks.
Yeah, I didn't think about it from the perspective of the head coaches, but if we are talking about who I'd rather take in a big game, Dan Lanning or Ryan Day, that's the easiest decision of my life. The argument will be that Ohio State's going to be pissed off from how they lost last time, which is true. It was the closest game Oregon had all year, and frankly, there are a lot of times where Ohio State should have outright won that game, but they didn't. And now Oregon's only gotten stronger, and Ohio State has only gotten weaker in regards to their overall output, and I, from what I could imagine, their overall morale in the locker room. So yeah, give me the Ducks. I think they're gonna. I don't think it's gonna be an easy game by any means, but I think this is gonna be Oregon, spoiler alert, hardest game until they get into the finals.
Next up in the Fiesta Bowl, I got SMU against Boise State. Give me SMU. Give me SMU. If SMU is going to knock down Penn State, they should have no problem with Boise State. I think that offense is going to be a little too high powered for Boise. I do think, however, if the Broncos are able to establish the run, right? If Boise State's able to run the football effectively, with Genty, then you know what? If he goes for over 200 yards, then you know what? Boise State might win this football game. But I think SMU in a shootout, if it turns into a shootout game, which Boise State's going to have to drop back and throw the football, Maddox Madden is not going to do that. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. Their quarterback is Maddox Matt Mad Madsen. Yeah, Madsen. I mean, he's thrown, let's get real. He's thrown 22 touchdowns and three interceptions this year. He's thrown for 2,700 yards. Whoop-de-doo. But, dude, he's only dropped back to pass 360 times this year. 360 times. Like, I understand you have the best running back in the league, but he's averaging only like maybe 30, less than 30 dropbacks a game. I mean, I'm looking at this Nevada game on 11 on November 9th, where they won 28 to 21. Brother was 9 of 20, and they won because, you know, Genty does Genty things. But I don't see them winning a game in this playoff format. Them being a 3 seed, I think, is absurd. They play Penn State or SMU, they're getting pounced. It's over. I don't see a world where they even keep it relatively close. Give me SMU over Boise State.
I'll never understand the Boise State hate. I genuinely won't. I mean, they probably have one of the best in terms of like resumes of any of the teams on this bracket, with the fact that their only loss coming from the number one overall team, and the fact that they kept that close is incredible. Yeah, I disagree on this philosophy just because yes, Maddox Madsen, if I had to pick him my quarterback out of this crew, he wouldn't be my ideal guy, but that's just because I don't necessarily know how good he is or isn't, because when you have probably the greatest college running back ever, besides maybe Barry Sanders and Jim Brown on your team, no one, you don't need to be a great quarterback, because who was Jim Brown's quarterback in college? No one knows, because that guy's probably old and living in a retirement home in Florida and doesn't have to think about anything because he just got to go along for the ride. That was the greatest running back, a running game ever. So to me, this does go into the theory of Penn State, because I do have Penn State winning this against SMU, or I should say. So Penn State then plays Boise State. Give me the Broncos. That becomes a big game, and Penn State's not going to win two of those at the same time. The fact that they got handed two group of fives is frankly hilarious, because if they can't go to the Final Four against two group of fives, then they should probably be relegated to D2 and playing Slippery Rock for the next couple of years. And yeah, I'm sorry. Like you said, it's the matter of can Janty run for 200 yards? He's found it, no issues destroying every offense he's played against. This will be the best run defense he has played against so far, by far, without a doubt. This will be the best rushing defense he has ever played. But to me, it doesn't matter. When the lights get big, the big time players get going, and no one describes the idea more than Ashton Jeanty. I think it's going to be a low scoring offensive output game where a Boise State's going to dominate the time of possession. And yeah, give me the Broncos there. I think they're done being disrespected, and I think they're ready to show that they mean business out there in Idaho.
Next up, I got Indiana versus Georgia in the All-State Sugar Bowl. Give me Georgia. I think they're a better team without Carson Beck, personally. I'm going to get on my little Georgia rant right now, but this is a team that has one of the best defenses in college football. Secondly, they find ways to win games when they shouldn't. And an example I have is the Georgia Tech game. Even in the SEC title game, they did not look like they were going to win that game, especially after Carson Beck got hurt at halftime. But as a Carson Beck hater, I think him getting injured is probably the best thing for Georgia going into this playoff, because you're going to now have to rely on the ground game. You're going to have to rely on your backup quarterback, who is a mobile guy. Let him run the football. Let him make easy throws. Do some play action passing. Take the pressure off of him. And Georgia is a team that can win a game by scoring only 17 points. That's all they need to win, because their defense is that good. If you're able to control the time of possession and run the football and play hard-nosed Georgia SEC football, I don't think many teams are going to beat them. Give me Georgia over Indiana. It was a nice little run for them. They have a little Cinderella story, but the Bulldogs are coming to town, and they're gonna beat the crap out of Indiana. Go Bulldogs.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can't disagree with any of that. I think it's the dogs all the way. The defense is just going to be overwhelming on them. It really doesn't matter who plays quarterback. You're absolutely right. And frankly, Carson Beck would be very much kind of like a detriment to this team, but he's not playing, so you can't even analyze that. Yeah, the magic would definitely run out. There's going to be a lot of rah-rah going on with the Indiana Bowl going on against Indiana Notre Dame. Indiana, I think, will squeeze out a win. A lot of going to dissipate once they got Georgia next week. That's kind of how teams operate in these playoff scenarios. We're like, let's just beat within the first round and be legends. And then the next week, yeah, we're kind of screwed. And that's kind of the situation they got here. Yeah, give me the Bulldogs, no question.
Now to the Final Four, I have Arizona State against Oregon. Give me Oregon. It's in the Cotton Bowl. I think Oregon's going to win this football game. I think Arizona State's Cinderella run ends there just because I think this Oregon offense is going to be way too much for Arizona State, and I don't see them being able to win a game in a shootout. If Oregon puts up 40 plus points on you, I think there's very few teams that could try and run up the score with them, and Arizona State is not built to do that. They're still a young football team. Talk about a hell of a year for the Sun Devils, but give me Oregon. I think they win the Cotton Bowl, and they're one of the four teams who's going to make it to the final.
Yeah, so if we're doing the final, then no, it's pretty easy for me. Oregon is going to smack Texas. Oh, Texas is just a definition of a team that Oregon's going to kind of walk over. Not even walk over, because I bet they'll put up some sort of threat with that defense. But Oregon's just going to overwhelm them the way they've overwhelmed every good team they've played this year, and frankly, most of the teams that they've played in this bracket, no less. Texas is not built for the national championship. Their offensive output's just terrible. Their offensive line, which has some good pieces that are going to be great NFL guys, is not built for this moment. Yeah, give me the Ducks here. Really, it's horns down all the way for this point. Because frankly, who wants to see a Texas national championship? I don't want to see that either. That's like watching the Soviets win at the end of Miracle.
Georgia, SMU, give me the dogs. Give me the dogs in the Orange Bowl. I think at that point, SMU is not going to be an SEC team, especially a team like Georgia of their caliber. Give me Georgia, easy money. I don't think you're going to disagree with me on that one either, Jack. I think the Bulldogs are definitely built to make it to the championship because, in my opinion, I think they got a cakewalk. To get there, knowing they're probably, in my opinion, going to play potentially an SMU or Boise State. And if they do play Penn State, I think both of us can agree that Drew Aller's not being Georgia either.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not even, in my eyes, it's not even going to be Drew Aller, but yeah, Georgia against Boise State here. Like, it's fun. We had a good time, everybody. Blue turf, Boise, Idaho, potatoes, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, Kirby Smart's going to get what Kirby Smart gets, and he's going to probably, it might be sad. It might just be a situation where Georgia turns on against a group of five team that's a little smaller than them and just starts to whip on them. Give me Georgia here, no question. I love Boise State, but at the end of the day, the dogs are the dogs, and all those guys are going to go to the NFL for a reason. And there's a reason why some of the guys on Boise State who are probably starting, who are great players for them, are going to be selling insurance in southeastern Idaho. And hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Not everyone needs to go to the league, but it's the difference between an SEC and a Mountain West team. And that's going to be the end of it in my eyes. It's not a very hard analysis.
Oregon versus Georgia for all the marbles, and give me the Bulldogs. I've been on Georgia all year. I got a future on them. They are without a doubt, I think, the best team in the playoff, and also too, they're the best equipped team to win it. They have a great defense. They've been there before. They have a great coach that knows what he's doing. They can run the football. They got some playmakers on offense. And like I said, Jack, they don't need to worry about winning games by 30 plus. They just have to, stay in the game. And I think if they're able to stay in it, they're able to, keep it within a touchdown game. I 100% expect them to make it all the way to the finals and beat the Ducks. So give me the Bulldogs to win the national title.
I've been saying Oregon's fraudulent all year. I mean, I just sang their praise as a team that's really good that beats big games. And that is true, but I've known deep down that like I don't love them to win the national championship. This obviously is the best Oregon team we've ever seen since maybe the D'Anthony Thomas days. Actually, definitely since the D'Anthony Thomas days. I wouldn't say they're better than Marcus Mariota, but yeah, Georgia, the defense there, they get theirs. They get theirs, and I think they're going to own Dylan Gabriel all day. I think they're going to own this Oregon team all day. I think it's going to actually be, it could be a competitive national championship, but I think it's going to be closer in score than it is going to be how it looks on the field. I think it's going to be one of those games where by the third drive, we're going to kind of know that Georgia has this squarely in their control and they're going to win the game. So yeah, give me the dogs. It's not fun. We expanded the playoff just for Kirby Smart to win another national championship, but what can we do? They keep recruiting well with these at the NIL funds. They're just going to keep getting better. So sorry guys, everything stays the same forever.
We got some other notable bowl games. I think we should go right down and pick them. First up, the Birmingham Bowl between Georgia Tech and Vanderbilt. Storybook season for Diego Pavia. Georgia Tech, on the other hand, they're a gritty football team. We've seen them beat battle with teams all year. They should have beat Georgia. And in my opinion, I think it's all about Georgia Tech. Give me Georgia Tech. As much as I want to choose Vanderbilt, I think Georgia Tech's a better football team. They are, and I think they're going to want it just a little bit more than Vanderbilt.
I'm gonna go Vanderbilt here just because I don't know if it's about wanting it. I think it's about rising to a moment, and I don't know how much longer Diego Pavia is a senior, right? Like he's like done.
Yep, this is it.
Yeah, this is his last game ever. They know the magic's over after this. Unless, like, maybe they do something like I said last week with like the NIL fund where they like really start to juice it up for these people. But I the run is done. And Georgia Tech is a good team. They're a gritty team. They compete well against teams, but so does Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's gone head to toe with some of the best parts of the SEC. And I like them to beat Georgia Tech here. Give me Diego Pavia riding back to his place in New Mexico on a horse. Winning this game. I like it. I like the storybook ending.
AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Arkansas versus Texas Tech. This one's gross, but I love it. Give me the Razorbacks.
Woo Pig Suey. Not exactly a battle of the GPAs here, but a battle of the grit and the hard-nosed teams. And I haven't liked Texas Tech all year. They've been pretty wishy-washy. Arkansas, if a couple other games go their way, against like Tennessee, for instance, or actually no, they beat Tennessee, I should say. But if a couple close games go their way, they probably, could have made a shot for an SEC title game. Not that they would have won or anything, but they could have made a shot for it. I like their quarterback. So yeah, Woo Pig Suey, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Whatever the hell they say down there in the Ozarks.
SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl, the Texas A&M Aggies versus the USC Trojans. You already know I got the Aggies. Come on, baby.
I mean, it could have been against the 0-1 Hurricanes, and you would have chosen the Aggies. But yeah, USC. Sorry, I don't even under. Frankly, it's an insult to A&M that they're playing against USC in the Las Vegas Bowl. But yeah, they've just been a mess all year. There was a time where I thought they could have been a pretty good team, especially when they beat LSU early on. But yeah, no, they're just kind of wasting through the sun right now in a real transition period rest. A&M is also kind of in a transition period, but like if you say that to them, the like the upper brass, they'll be like, oh no, we wouldn't do that. So yeah, I like A&M in this game, but I don't like A&M in general.
Fenway Bowl, UConn versus UNC. This is just a gross game. But for some reason, I think UConn's going to win because who is playing for UNC? I think they are in the biggest transitional period with Bill Belichick coming in. A lot of noise on the outside versus on the inside. And I just don't see UNC coming out ready to play this game. This is big for the Huskies. Let's go, UConn.
God, I wish this was a basketball game, but it's not. It's a football game, apparently. Yeah, UConn's been sneaky all year. But truly, deep down, I think UNC is going to win this game. I mean, At the end of the day, the group of five will always just be at a structural disadvantage. And like, while UConn will win games against kind of gritty, will win gritty group of five games against some of these teams where it's like shocking and they cover the spread. You know, if you compare UConn, I think they opened the year up against like a bad Maryland team and got absolutely smoked by them. So if that's any sort of like comparative to how they do against like higher level opponent, then yeah, give me UNC.
Iowa State versus Miami in the Pop-Tart Bowl. It's all about the U, baby. Cam Ward's gonna throw
All about
five
the
touchdowns. He's probably gonna throw five touchdowns for like 500 yards. I think they're gonna run up the score, and Miami's gonna show the playoff committee that they messed up by leaving them out.
And then the end of the game is going to be 56 to like 52 or something. Like that's going to be the final score. It's going to be one of the greatest football performances ever. And it will be a close game because that's how Miami's defense works. And that's why they should have been in the playoff, guys. Because even if they are like not the best, they're very entertaining. No one can deny that. Yeah, give me the Canes. No question here. Iowa State is a wounded duck. And Miami's pissed off that they didn't get in. And frankly, there's a part of me that really wishes they did and thinks they should have.
Alamo Bowl. The Alamo Bowl between Colorado, BYU. Man, I'd love to get tickets for that one. It's all Colorado. It's about Shadur and Travis Hunter. And the fact that they're playing this game says a lot about the culture Deion Sanders has implemented in Colorado. And I just really expect the Buffaloes to go in there and punch BYU in the mouth. We're going to Texas. Deion Sanders loves him some Texas. In Colorado, they're going to put a whooping on BYU.
Yeah, no, that's going to be probably one of the most entertaining games on this list. Easily the most entertaining game on this list, maybe besides Georgia Tech and Vanderbilt. But yeah, I like Colorado as a team generally. But in terms of winning big games, Retzlaff and BYU has shown me they could do that time and time again. I think a lot of the money is going to be on Colorado, so BYU is going to be a potential cheeky win. And I see this as kind of being one of those games where Colorado kind of shows that, like, yeah, they're better than they were last year. But they're not going to be at that stage. The lacking offensive line is going to show. The lacking defense is going to show. Give me Retzlaff and BYU.
Last up, the sorry, we got two more bowl games. The ReliaQuest Bowl between Bama and Michigan, rematch of a college football playoff game of last year. Give me Michigan in this one. Yeah, give me Michigan.
Oh.
Give me Michigan. Everyone's transferring out of Alabama. Ryan Williams hit the transfer portal. Trust me, it is not looking good in the state of Alabama. Roll Tide? Nah, it's go it no, nah, no. Michigan. Hard-nosed football. They're going to run the football. They're going to punch Milroe in the mouth. Let's go, Wolverines.
Tomas saved his most controversial take for when we have not a lot of time left. So I'm going to have to go here and say, I obviously Alabama's going to win this game. It's not fun. I don't love saying that. And I do think there's an opportunity for Michigan to do well with the fact that a Wink Martindale defense going against Jalen Milroe, who is a talented player, but probably isn't used to having that much pressure just right on top of him. But at the end of the day, Michigan, they can't move the ball. They're terrible on offense, just horrendous on offense. So yeah, give me Alabama here, no question. I'll take the Jalen Milroe, the fighting Jalen Milroes, him against whoever Ryan Williams' backup is probably great. And it's probably still gonna cook a Michigan secondary. So yeah, I'll take the Crimson Tide here.
Last up in the Cheez-It Bowl, South Carolina versus Illinois. South Carolina, Lenore Sellers is an absolute dog. I think he's going to be a favorite for the Heisman next year. South Carolina, when I think about some of the best 12 teams in college football, I really think at the end of the year they were playing like a top 12 team. They're going to put a whooping on Illinois. I can't wait to watch the Gamecocks play.
I wasn't going to say anything, but then you said it twice. It is Illinois. Illinois. But I like South Carolina. I like the Gamecocks here. So Illinois has been overhyped all year, for goodness sake. I mean, they've just been a team in the Big Ten that teams have like kind of been pushed, has been pushing a narrative to say, like, oh, they can compete with Ohio State, Michigan, whatever. And they haven't all year. They haven't been competitive against any big team. They're competitive against Rutgers, but they're not playing Rutgers. They're playing Lenore Sellers in South Carolina, and that to me is a much more exciting team that has a much more upward trajectory of their career path. Give me the Cocks. We love them here. We love the Cocks on Bad Takes in Boston. So go South Carolina, go Cocks.
Hey Jack, actually wait, we have 1:27 left. Hold on, let me close this thing out. We don't got much time. We only had 40 minutes. We had to do a quick one today, but we wanted to get into all the college football pick'ems and the bowl games. We wanted to get this episode out for you guys. So don't worry. Next week we'll be back with more football, more college football, more NFL, more bad takes in Boston, and we'll see you next week.